Welcome to our teaching. We'll be doing a teaching called John the Baptist versus modern day prophetic ministry. Primarily, we'll be reading scriptures from Luke chapter 1. That's primarily the focus of scripture, and then we'll be going over to Matthew chapter 3 when we have opportunity. We're going to just break down the word being unctioned by the Holy Spirit to teach this for a while. So just bear with us. Amen. And it reads, "Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set order a narrative of these things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who have from the beginning were eyewitnesses, ministers of the word, delivered them to us, it seemed good to me, also having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know certainly of those things in which you were instructed." We're going to continue to read on. We're going to drop down and read about John's announcement, his birth being announced to his father Zacharias. It says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. And his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And there were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as the priest before God, in the order of his division, according to the custom of his priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he was sent into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he also will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children from Israel of the Lord their God, and he also before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and make ready, prepare the people for the Lord.'" I'm gonna stop right there. We're gonna hit up on some things, just some insights in regards to this. We see here that both Elizabeth and Zechariah come from the line of Aaron. So they flow through a line of greatness, not just being Levitical priests, but through the high priest family, coming straight through the line of Aaron, Aaron being one of their ancestors. We see also, too, that they were old in age and that they were barren. This is a synopsis of what we see from Malachi to the point where John the Baptist is born, that it was at least 400 years of silence. You know, we see at this point where the Jews are pretty much held captive in regards religiously, in regards to the tradition of men, the fallen traditions of the rabbis. They're following the tradition of oral Torah, and they're not following the Torah, and the laws of actually Moses had set forth. So we see how Zechariah it's his time to go into the temple because it's the eighth course, eight being the number of new beginnings. So we see that God is doing something new and something fresh, and his spirit is about ready to move mightily through Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth being a vessel, giving birth to John. So God is trying to do, and Yahweh is trying to do, is break them out of tradition. So when Zechariah sees Gabriel, he fears first. So, you know, Gabriel's like, you're going to have a son and he's going to be great in the eyesight of God. And people, when we're talking about the comparisons of prophetic ministry in modern day terms, how most churches judge prophetic ministry is accuracy. Oh, this person is accurate. This person was able to know my middle name and know my address and know, you know, all this about me and confirm some things, some other things, and then focus on accuracy, but not on the weight of the word. Because when we look at the Hebrew prophets, when they would come with the word of the Lord, it was weighted. It was oracular. It destroyed yokes. They would come, and these prophets would come, and a lot of the message that they would preach or they would prophesy, it would be judgment, it would be other things, it would be repentance. You don't hear that in most modern day prophets. It's preaching a sermon and then having a prayer line where you have people come and sow seed, and then you give them prophetic words, and the majority of it is blessings. The majority of it is God's going to give you a house and material things, or God's raising you up to be prophet. I've never seen a day and time where there's so many individuals that are calling themselves apostles and prophets and all, yet they don't know what the original apostles went through. The majority of those apostles were killed based on their message, based on their ministry. They were persecuted. They were downtrodden. The majority of the prophets that came up through Israel were killed and persecuted. And here we have John coming up in a family that he definitely has a pedigree of greatness. He could have taken the high road. My daddy has all the contacts in the Sanhedrin. He knows all the people. He has all the connections and all. But here we see that the Lord set John apart to be a holy vessel. He told Zechariah, the angel Gabriel, he says, you're going to name him John, you're not going to name him Zechariah. So I'm breaking tradition, because even Jesus says that the tradition of men have made the word non-effect. So people have come up in church, they come up Pentecostal, and then an old saying, Baptist born, Baptist bred, Baptist till I die. You know, you can hold that, but if you're not holding truth to biblical truth, you're not holding truth to following the leading of the Holy Spirit, and seeing that certain traditions of men are holding you back from following the will and purpose, the divine will of God, then you are nothing more than a religious traditional person that are following these things. So here we have Zechariah, him and his wife are past due, they're past the age where they can actually produce a child. And we have to realize that these people, they have to be able to know the Lord for themselves. So when we go on and We look at verse 18. Now let's go back to verse 17. And it says that John will come in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So the main message should be with us when we're moving in prophetic ministry, and we are looking, we're not looking to draw attention to ourselves. We're drawing attention to the Lord. So we have to make sure that the attention is being driven to the Lord, and hearts are being turned to the Lord. Because when we look in Malachi, it says that Elijah will come and turn the hearts of the children to the Father, unless the earth be smite with a curse. So modern day prophetic ministry is not following the rules or following the pattern that John the Baptist is, and much of it is for personal gain and for materialism and for branding and reputation and all. So we have to turn people to Christ. This is a day and age that we live in, that we have to be able to deliver God's word and deliver it such a weight. So that's another thing too. When you listen to a lot of these modern day prophets, there's no weight on the word. It's a light word. So people don't feel the heaviness of conviction or repentance. It's pretty much people are coming to all these conferences, conventions, and these prophetic conferences to get these words as building the kingdom of self, not building the kingdom of God, or looking within themselves like, Lord, what is in my heart that's not right, that I need to get right with you, that I need to turn from sin, that I need to start being a corrupt person, you know? So we have to make sure that we are in the right mindset, that we are following, Christ, and that we're being led by the Spirit of God. So we go back. 19, it says, and the angel of the Lord said unto him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. Behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. So Zechariah didn't believe what was going to occur. He was going off the natural. We walk by faith, not by sight. He was going off eyesight instead of insight. Insight gives you vision. Also, the people perish without prophetic revelation, or without the people perish without vision. The people perish, which that means is without prophetic revelation, the people perish. But here, Zechariah, the angel is like, despite you, Zechariah, being not able to fulfill, or not you not really believing, I'm gonna mute you, but this is going to be the divine purpose and will that I need to do to fulfill my will upon this earth. So we go on. This says, now after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months. Thus said the Lord, has dealt with me in the days when he looked upon me and took away my reproach among the people. Then we're going to drop down to verse 57. It says, now Elizabeth, full time, came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called by name his father Zacharias. His mother answered and said, no, he should be called John or Yochanan. The Hebrew word for John is Yochanan. But they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by this name. So they made signs to his father and what he would call him. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. So they all marveled, and immediately his mouth opened and his tongue loose, and he spoke, praising God. And then fear came on all who dwelt around them. And when all these things were discussed through all the hill, the country of Judea, and all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. So the hand of the Lord was with him. So here we have, when you're in the will of God and you are looking, you're looking to have to be on the Lord's side, you don't have to continue to look for affirmation. You're not looking to build a brand. God had his hand up on John, and the people knew it. We live in a society where everybody wants to build their brand and want to go on social media and build on my ministry brand, and my prophetic ministry is so great. You know, I prayed for X amount of people and they got healed. And you have so many people that are so prideful and so boastful, some other things and all, that they're not walking in the fruit of the Spirit, where they're producing meekness. They're not producing being humble. A lot of it is very much self-centered and showmanship and other things and flash. And we have to be very careful in regards to the day and age that we live in, because you've heard me say this in the past, and I'll say this over and over again, the day that we live in that Jesus spoke about. But when Jesus was in the Olivet Discourse, he warned, out of all the things that he was talking about, and he's speaking prophetically, he warned at least four times to beware of deception. So we have to be aware of deception, because people can say good things. Of course, most false prophets, when they come, they're saying good things. They're not saying bad things. That's why when we look at true prophets, when they come and they're talking about repentance, they're talking about judgment, they're revealing the actual heart of their audience that they're speaking to, some of the wickedness that is going on in their heart. We see that John the Baptist was a man full of the Holy Spirit that spoke, thus saith the Lord. Again, Jesus said he was the greatest prophet ever born among a woman. But we don't see John the Baptist out there in the Jordan River holding prophecies, having people come up before they get in water. I'm going to give you a personal prophecy. I'm John the Baptist. My parents had me at an old age, and start giving his accolades and start giving his pedigree and all. I come from a long background of high priest and from the line of Aaron and Moses, and which is the lawgiver, was a Levi and all these other things. No, John was set apart, where the instructions that Gabriel says that is pretty much he lived as a Nazirite, where he didn't take anything of strong drink. He was sober in mind. He was sober spiritually, and he was able to hear the word of the Lord. Even so much that John was so uncompromising. You will see most people within modern day prophetic ministry will be front and center with King Herod, giving him praise. Oh, Herod is the bomb. Oh, Herod is the best. Giving Herod prophecies. Oh, Herod The Lord's going to really bless you. He has his hand up on you. Herod was living in adultery. He was he took on his brother's wife. And here's John the Baptist. John the Baptist wasn't trying to be relevant. He was trying to advance the message of the kingdom of God. He was preparing the path of the Lord. He was preparing the path for Yeshua to come, just like within what should be taking place in today in prophetic ministry. We should be preparing the way for the Lord when he comes back, preparing for the Lord's soon coming, turning the hearts of men and women back unto the Lord, and not just doing the traditional things. You know, I go to church on Sunday, I do, you know, I follow all the rituals, I do all these things and all, but you don't have a relationship with God. You're not actively seeking to be faithful to the Lord. You're not producing good fruit. You're just producing a bunch of lip service and totally devoted from the word of God. So when we see this, we have to know that you have to be able to hear from the Lord. So John is a perfect example. He's prophesying. He's telling Herod, King Herod, you're wrong. You're in, with Herodias. You're living in adultery. Man, you need to repent. And Herod was actually fearful. We have most people are not fearful when true prophets come in. It brings fear upon the people because it really exposes things that are going on. But people are more comfortable because they're like, oh, these people are blessing my mess. They're prophesying over my mess. They're prophesying blessings, but I'm in a hot mess. And that's just delusional. And we have to be careful that we don't fall into being delusional, that we're always open for truth, that we have a soft heart, that our hearts are circumcised, our ears are circumcised to really hear what the Spirit is saying. So here we go with Zechariah begins to prophesy about his son. He says, now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways and to give knowledge of salvation to his people by remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, with which dayspring from high has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts until the day of his manifestation to Israel. So here we go. This is another thing. We have to really realize that most people in today's ministry, whether it's prophetic ministry, it's just ministry in general, we want to run out and get business cards and start promoting ourselves. But here, John is sent out in the desert till the day of his showing, the day that he was manifested in Israel. So he's out, and even Paul, which Saul, once he was baptized, filled with the Spirit, was spent at least 3 years in the Arabian desert and just set aside and just learning things of God and being led and instructed by the Spirit, interested immediately. People want to be shooting stars. They want to have overnight success. They want to start promoting themselves. And I have X amount of meetings and I know this person. I'm well connected with this mega church, and this ministry has had me, and this ministry has thousands of people, and I've gone here and I've raised huge offerings, and I gave this many accurate prophetic words and other things and all that. But here we have John the Baptist, a child. He grew and became strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his showing. And look at this. John did not try to use connections. John could have been very well connected. He could have moved up the religious ladder during his day and time with the Pharisees and Sadducees. He could have had inner workings with the Sanhedrin and the religious establishment during that day and time, where he could have got a chance to go to all the different synagogues and had, you know, his platform to hold revivals and other things and all. But no, he was led out by the Spirit to minister out in the desert, out in the Jordan, eating wild honey and locusts, and wearing camel skin, not wearing the fine silk garments or anything like that, which we see most of these sly prophets wear jewelry and nice expensive suits and shoes and driving the best cars or rolling up in limousines and all these other things and all. John was the exact opposite, where he left his pedigree aside, his family background. It was all the Holy Spirit that was given John and giving him words to speak. Even so, we go back to how John was talking to Herod and telling Herod. Eventually, Herod had John arrested, and John was still preaching, "Herod, you're wrong. You're going to go to hell. You're going to bust hell wide open. You're living in adultery." He didn't tell him truth. He didn't try to sugarcoat it. Most of these false prophets would have been telling Herod, "Oh, you and your wife Herodias, you guys are going to be blessed, and God's going to bless you with more palaces and more chariots and more horses and more gold and just some other things and on. You're blessed, man of God." No, he called a spade a spade. And eventually, Herodias, having a harlot type spirit, was like, "I'm tired of hearing this man preach." Just like Jezebel had a harlot spirit and some other things and all. True prophets, John was a true prophet. John ended up losing, the prophetic voice was cut off because Herodias arranged it where she told her daughter, "You dance, you get Herod sexually aroused and other things and all. And when a time comes, you ask for the head of John the Baptist," which she did, and Herod had to honor it, and John lost his head. John lost his head and lost his voice, was cut off based on him prophesying or preaching truth. Weight, not his predictions, but like the weight of his word was so weighty, even when he was out there in the Jordan River, he was preaching the way one greater than him that was coming, Yeshua, was coming. And people felt that weight and was like, "We need to get ourselves right. We're not right. We're going to go down and get baptized." And John was not one of those type, "I'm trying to build my brand. You know, I want to prophesy smooth things. I want to say things that's not going to ruin me from having extra meetings." John can care less because he had the Lord on his side. When we go to Matthew chapter 3, And we're going to look at verse 1 through 9. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions around Jordan went out to him. So the people in Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region went out. They're traveling out to hear John's message. And he says, and were baptized by him in the Jordan, they were confessing these sins. Most modern day prophetic ministry is not leading people to profess their sins. It's actually strengthening the hands of those who work iniquity and prophesying smooth things. I mean, you have people that are living in outright adultery within church, and people are blessing these people. You have ministers that are leaving one wife, going to another wife, and people still prophesying good things to them. Oh, God has your hand up on him. Oh, I see God calling you to be an apostle to the nations and all these other stuff. And it's uttermost foolishness that's taking place that we're seeing. It has nothing to do with the Lord. They're prophesying smooth things. They're prophesying lies. They're false prophets. But here's John, has people confessing their sins. He says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warn you to flee from the wrath to come. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our fathers. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. So he calls the religious establishment. Here's these religious folks that are coming, and these Pharisees and Sadducees weren't coming in the right spirit. They didn't come having a repentant heart. They were coming to be looky-loos and be judgmental and other things and all. But here, the boldness of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, where John calls them vipers, broad vipers. When you look at the different sects during Second Temple Judaism, you had the Pharisees, you had the Sadducees, you had the Zealots, you had some other sects, but the Essenes were seen as ones who really followed the Torah, really kept hold to biblical truth. And they saw the Pharisees as religious and Sadducees as religious idolaters, because not that they worship idols. Their main idol was the worship of the traditions of men. And we can see in modern day times, most people that are in church, we exalt tradition, religious tradition, and traditions within denominations and within organizations over the word of God. And we don't try to follow biblical truth, but we don't follow the mandate of what the Holy Spirit is saying. We follow the mandates of the traditions of men that have been built up over the years and over the years. And we idolize that. And that's what the Pharisees and Sadducees, they idolize the rabbis, they idolize oral Torah, but they weren't following the commandments. They weren't following the actual words of Moses, which Moses had laid down. They never really followed the prophets anyway. They persecuted and killed. Most of the true prophets were killed anyway. So even when we look again at the Essenes, they saw the Pharisees as vipers. When we go, I want to go to Psalms 58, which really reveals what vipers. Psalms 58. It says, do you indeed speak righteousness You silent ones, do you judge right uprightly? You sons of men, no, in the heart you work wickedness. This is what the Pharisees and Sadducees were doing. No, you're not upright, you work wickedness. You weigh out the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like deaf cobras that stop its ears, which will not heed the voice of charmers, and charming ever so skillfully. So this states their poison is like the poison of a serpent. So when you have people that are not practicing truth and the walking in lies, the walking in tradition, they're like vipers. They're leading you astray. False doctrine and false prophecy and the traditions of men is poison. So it can poison you and you don't even know it. And you continue to walk blindly and you're still held in darkness. You're not brought into the marvelous light. You're walking in darkness of religious tradition and false doctrine. And eventually you get led astray and you're leading a path of eternal damnation. So going back to even the Pharisees and Sadducees who really didn't give a heed to what John was saying, even what Herod repenting of his adultery and coming to the truth what John was saying, eventually they are doomed because they went to hell. They're just waiting for final judgment to go into the lake of fire because they didn't give a heed to what John is saying. So in the perspective that we have to really be able to judge what real prophetic ministry is, John the Baptist is definitely a pattern that true prophets need to try to be following, is the preaching of repentance of sin, convicting people of sin, turning people's hearts back to the Lord and not to a church building, but to the Lord, and making them prepare a way for them for the soon coming of Jesus, which is Yeshua HaMashiach, which is soon to come, to make the hearts prepared for his coming. But no, we're so much, especially in American Christianity, running after all the toys, running after everything, and people aren't being prepared. People aren't seeking truth. And there's, just because people have a large amount of people there in the building, it's not evidence that God has their hand upon that ministry. So keep us in prayer. So hopefully you got something from this. This teaching, again, was John, the prophetic ministry of John the Baptist versus modern day prophetic ministry. God bless. This is the End Time Shofar.